Now, friends, as we prepare to hear Holy Scripture this morning, join me in our prayer of illumination. In one voice, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, and I invite you to stand in body or spirit as you hear the words from chapter 4. Then Jesus began to say to them, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleaned except Naaman the Syrian." And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. I'm going to read the epistle text as well, but I'm going to allow the reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to be our prayer as we enter into this time of listening for God's voice through our spoken word. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. For love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in a part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, And the greatest of these is love. And all God's people said, amen. So oftentimes this passage is read where? At weddings, right? It's often the reading because it really emphasizes this idea of love. And if we hold this passage in that context, we know that there is a joining of two lives together. And if it's within the life of the church where you might be reading scripture, there's also this recognition that God is to be the center of that relationship. And that with the joining of those two persons, a new expression of God's love will come forth. But it also reminds us that sometimes our actions may not fully convey the truth of God's love. For it challenges the motivation, the why are we doing what we are doing? Because if we aren't mindful of the choices that we make or the actions we take, if we're doing it for our own purposes and not that of God, friends, we're just noisy. We are not expressing God's love into the world. Now, last week, I was very thankful for the message that Pastor Amy gave to us from the Gospel of Luke, and also this reading of Nehemiah. Nehemiah draws this vision into something that is going to be reimagined, renewed, restored. And sometimes we come to church that our spirits can be renewed and restored. And we know that Jesus is beginning his ministry. And 2 weeks ago, we heard of the first miracle, right? And that was changing the water into wine at a wedding in Cana. Could you imagine if they were reading Paul's words at that wedding to remind them to keep God at the center of this relationship? But it goes on. Right? Because Jesus is calling out this word of the prophecy. And we pick up where Pastor Amy left off in hearing, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And what I love about this is that the crowd who heard this and had heard Jesus reading from the scroll of Isaiah and the fulfillment of the prophecy, they all knew that they were waiting for the Messiah to come, the anointed one, the one of God who would save them all and reconcile them into perfect relationship to God. And when he said, in your hearing today, this has been fulfilled. And all spoke well of him. And we're amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. Now, I want you to sit there with that. How many times have we heard something that seemed so great? They were like, that was amazing. And it really moves us and it sits with us. Jesus didn't leave them there. Because then Jesus gave examples of what this actually meant. And he's pointing to circumstances where former prophets had gone and went out to save the one. Right? The widow at Zarephath. The singular leper who was healed, Naaman. These persons were outside of the geographical region that these people expected the Messiah to come to save. We cannot lose sight of where Jesus was proclaiming this message. And not only that, but he was doing it in his hometown. Right? The people that saw him grow up, who probably, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, that village certainly had a hand in raising Jesus. And then Jesus goes back and he proclaims this, and then he challenges their understanding. And how quickly it changes. For when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. And they got up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could hurl him off the cliff. That's a pretty big emotional swing in response for this crowd of people. To one, be in awe and just this expectancy of what Jesus said. And then Jesus gives examples. And then what do? They rage against this message that Jesus is proclaiming. How dare he tell us this message of salvation is for those outside of who we can see and understand as being on the inside. And so this message of love, this message of hope, this message of faith that we hear from Paul is relevant because Paul's mission was to share the good news to the Gentiles. That this message of salvation was going to have far-reaching implications and connection. And we know this. And Paul is challenging, what is at the motivation of why you're doing what you're doing? To remind us that our mission, our motivation is to be firmly rooted in God's love. That if we're doing something that causes harm to someone else, chances are God's love is not at the center of that. If we're challenging someone and not giving opportunity for mutual conversation and dialogue to understand, rather we are imposing something on someone else without understanding that they may have a perspective different than ours, then we are not doing it from a position of love. It's been a hard couple of weeks, friends. And I'm hearing rippling effects of how things are coming about that villainizes certain groups and individuals. That it is causing harm to God's people. We need to be mindful of what the motivation is. If it's about maintaining power structures and our own positions of status that causes harm to someone else, then chances are it's not founded in God's love and grace. We come here not because we have all the answers. We don't come here because we're perfect. We come here to be in the presence of God, to be reminded that even in our brokenness, we are loved. That even in the choices that we make that may not be the best for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, there is hope of forgiveness and reconciliation by God's grace. And then Jesus passed right through them. Sit with that for a minute. That their awe to rage did not stop Jesus from the work he was doing. He passed through. God in flesh, God incarnate, love in the person, walked through their midst to carry that love into other places and in other situations. Our awe our rage, our frustration, our hangriness, whatever emotions we were talking about today, cannot stop the work of Jesus in the world. So the question for us is, are we going to hinder what God is doing, or are we going to participate and spread God's love into the world? Because, friends, there are people who are hungry. There are people who need clothes. There are people who need reasonable medical care. There are people who are lonely, who need community. There are people who have lost their jobs. And there are people who have been made to feel invisible. God loves them. God loves us. And we are called to love as God first loved us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.